Stand where you know where I stand, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't stand and pledge allegiance this morning. On this day, those of you who will and join me, if you'll stand, but I just think we're going to have to just be doing that more often. So I'll begin. You can say it with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you. All right. And I do not do that to the neglect of the Lord, but I do it in honor of Him, and we do too. We all know that He comes before the flag or the country or anything else, but He founded it, and He gave us this place, and I just don't believe I want to give it up to y'all. And we'll fight for it. I've been willing to do that already, and so we'll try it again. Today we're going to go over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Say, well, we don't go to Thessalonians much. And we're going to go to chapter 5 and look at verses 16 through 24 in the New International Version. And we'll just read what it says. It's been a while since I poked around here. I was trying to look back and say, how long has it been? I think it's been back, I don't know, 2014, somewhere in there. A long time ago, I thought, wow, we got to come back to this. It's about time. And it really does tie into some of the things where we are. So let's just read it. It says, rejoice always. And I'm the first one. I'm already having trouble. That's why God, I know, gave it, you know, so. And I was like, it's been hard to rejoice here, folks, you know, lately, well, for months. But we'll read the whole thing. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, this is good stuff here, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the one who calls you is faithful, He will do it. So God who called you is faithful, He'll do it. What? That's a big load right here. I mean, this is a ton of scripture. And it's a big load of theology, and it's like, wow, this is great, except he has to just start off with saying, you know, we'll use our first point here. He's saying, be joyful. What? I just put be joyful / be happy. And he's saying, I want you to be joyful and be happy in your heart and your spirit. And it's like, and I'm sorry, do you ever do this? I mean, do you ever look at God and say, are you kidding? Was this your joke in heaven day? I mean, do you really mean this? And it's like, rejoice always. Are you having any trouble rejoicing all the time? You know, or I struggle with rejoicing, and I read stuff, hear stuff, and look at things and say, you want me to rejoice over that? You know, and I look at some of the crazy stuff that's said and done and all the lies that are out there. Friends, you just can't hardly trust anything. You know, you really got to go and track it to the source. Call your congressperson and ask them. They'll tell you what's happening in Congress. Most of them will. You know, I mean, contact your senator. I'm serious. Just ask them direct. And when we have a townhouse meeting or whatever, and I've had several meetings with our U.S. congressman, and he's a good guy up there, and just ask him, what is happening in the House? What is the latest? You know, is the stuff I'm hearing, is that really what's going on? And they'll tell you. You know, they'll speak to you sometimes a little bit of, you know, political mumbo-jumbo, but you can get them to clear the air. The one we've got up there, he's new, so he's still straightforward and tells it like it is. But check it out. Go to the source. Ask these people themselves, did you really vote for this? You know, are you supporting this? Or how many voted for and against? They'll tell you. Or they'll get one of their aides and they'll call you in. But that's the way to do this anymore, and just go straight to the deal and say, what is it? So But it's not just that. It's just be joyful, you know, rejoice always and pray continually. Praying continually, you know, it means it just not, you know, God knows you're not every breath you take is in prayer, but he's saying you want to be consistent. You want to pray when you're driving down the road. And it's preferable if you pray driving down the highway. It's preferable if you can keep your eyes open. So don't go into too much of the traditional mode and close your eyes driving. But otherwise, that meant to be funny, but there's not much humor here this morning. I don't know why. Did y'all celebrate last night? Is that, you know? Okay. So anyway, but pray down when you're driving. I'm going to go home. There's going to be lots of traffic this afternoon. I'll need to pray a lot. And it'd be better if I spend time praying rather than what I usually do, yelling at people that don't hear you anyway. But this thing of rejoicing, and it hits you kind of hard, and it's like, rejoice always and pray continually and give thanks. Look at this. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Somebody says, do you know what God's will is? I said, well, I'll tell you part of it in Thessalonians. He says, I want you to rejoice. So that's what he's saying. I want you to pray a lot. And I want you to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. And that's God's will. That's God's will, says it just plainly. So if you're ever questioning some things, you know, how can I know what God's will is? Well, that's part of it. And he said, do this. There's other things. But he said, this is part of my will because I want you to learn to rejoice. And so, as I begin to look at this, it says rejoice always, breaking this down, saying, okay, first point here is be joyful, be happy in your spirit. You know, he listen to this. He didn't say you had to be happy at what's happening at the moment or what has happened, but he wants you to rejoice. Listen to this. You can take this and say, you mean, so if somebody close to me gets hurt, or my kid gets in trouble, or my mom or dad gets in trouble, you know, whatever it is, or there's a tragedy, or the many, many things that can happen. You mean God wants me to rejoice over that? That's not what he's telling you to rejoice over. He's saying he wants you to rejoice, one, because God knows about it. He said, I want you to have rejoicing in your heart that God knows what's happened to you. And God knows what's happened to whoever it is that you care about. He knows. It's not a surprise, and he knew it was coming. So God knows what's happening to you or to whoever it is. And God knows all about it, and he knows all about you. And listen to this, and he knows what he wants to do. You don't, and I don't, but he does. And that's where the worry comes in. We don't know what God's up to, and he seldom ever just explains his plan of what he's up to in any given situation. But friends, listen to me. Listen. No matter what it is, God knows about it. He knew before it happened. He knew all was going to take place. It's a shock to us, and we're, you know, my friend is hurt, or someone passed away, or there's a sickness, or there's something weird. And, you know, we're just going panic city, and of course he knows that. But he knows what's happening. And he said, I want you to rejoice because in the fact that I knew it was coming. I already have a plan. It may not be the plan. Listen to me. When God has a plan, this is where we get hung up as Christians, as human beings. We want things to work out in our logic, the way we see it, the way we feel it, the way we predestine it to be. But God's plan supersedes. It's over. He had a plan before we were ever born. Everything is in accord. So when stuff happens and we're just blown away by it and we're saying, God, this isn't working out. How many times have we said that to him? This is not working out like I thought it would. How many times have any of us said that? You know, I thought this was the right decision. I thought this. I thought that. This is not. And God's saying, I know it's not like you thought it would, but I have a bigger plan. And one of the challenges in life is to let go of what I preconceive, what I think things should be, the way I see it ought to come out, and to be able to say to him, this is all what I feel, think, see. He's okay with that. But to say, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this pass from me. If it's possible for any other way, Jesus prayed that. If there's any other way, let this cup, he said, what? this suffering on the cross be done a different way. Even Jesus prayed that. His human part prayed that. He never veered off his mission. But what did he wrap that all up with? After he poured out his heart, and we need to do that more often. What we feel, what we think, what we're agonizing over. But how did Jesus bring it to focus for us so that we get this idea of what to do? He said, nevertheless, what? Not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done. Because God, it's your plan. It's your will. You see the big picture. You see what, you know, the whole thing. And here's Jesus himself who knew what he was destined for. But the human part of him, he's already seen people on crosses. Can you imagine? We've heard this most of our lives, most of us, and we take it for granted, and we it loses the tragedy, the grossness of it, the pain, the suffering, because we're just so familiar with hearing it. We're kind of desensitized to it. But friends, it was horrible, and he'd seen people nailed to crosses. If you'd seen people nailed to crosses, and then it was your turn, would you be asking God to deliver you from that? Heck yeah, you would. And so there's a lot of things I've asked God to deliver me from, and you have too. And some he did and some he didn't. And you're saying, and so then we get mad at God, or we get frustrated and say, what did I do? What sin did I commit? And what am I being punished, chastised for, beat up for? And God is saying, none of the above. I have a plan. And you're here to express your feelings and all that, but what are we really here for? We're here to live God's plan for our lives. And we get it turned around, and we're asking God to live our plan for our lives. We don't mean to, but we do that, don't we? I want this to work out the way I see it should work out. My logic says this, and God's saying, your logic is about that deep. A little pinch deep. You know, and we think we've got it all figured out. And he said, you don't even see but that little much. He said, that's why I told you that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, because most people don't have even that much. And so what we think we know, what we think we see, and the way we got it figured out, and God is saying, what? What did he say already? My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so we go through our stress and we suffer our feelings and our emotions, but there comes a place where we have to say, okay, God, this is not the way I see it, and I'm not happy about this. But I rejoice in the fact, God, that you knew this and you let it happen for some reason, and I haven't figured that out. God, would you reveal that to me? Ask him that. But Father, in the meantime, you've let this happen at least for one reason, and that's for me to say to you, and from my heart, not just with my words, not my will be done, but yours. Because obviously you have a bigger plan, and I need to just let you do what you want to do. Friends, that's how we grow as Christians, is when we can let go of our ideas, our preconceived ideas, and say to God, this is not going my way, but nevertheless, your will be done. After all, God, you didn't put me here to run my own life. You put me here to live your life. Through Christ, my hope of glory. And it changes the whole perspective. And then he says, once you start getting that, even a little bit, there can be more rejoicing and less anger and less hurt, less frustration at God, and more of this letting go and saying, you know what? You have a bigger picture. You see what I don't see. And then you know what the amazing thing is here? He still allows us our feelings. He allows us even our opinions. Do you think he ever gets fed up with our opinion? can you imagine what God has to hear in a day's time? And we have all these opinions. And it's like, you know, Tony, are you opinionated? Me, opinionated? Now, anybody that knows me would, you know, Tony, the most gentle lamb in the whole bunch, opinionated? Oh, man. You know, anybody's known me for a while, y'all are laughing back there at that table. It's like, oh, really? Get over it, man. Yeah, why is everybody laughing? It knows me a little bit. Yeah, right. It's like, that boy has an opinion about anything. You know, if God just stepped aside, Tony, just help him run it. You know, we would, but you know, the world would definitely be a different place. We'd take oxygen out from all the professional athletes. That'd be one thing. That'd just be my little first step. And then we'd go from there and get serious. But anyway, the point being, he puts up with our opinions. He puts up with our feelings. He lets us express all this stuff that we get so wrapped up in. And we have real feelings. And hey, when somebody gets hurt close to you or something happens, all this junk, or just the thing in the world, the way our whole world is today, and we just get so frustrated and we're hitting things, we're saying stuff, God's listening to all that, and he's saying, would you get work through that to the point to where you can listen to me for a minute? Can you hear my voice, my spirit saying to you, I know all about this, I got this, I got it, I've got an end result here, and just tap into it and go with this? Do your part. Listen to me. Do your part. Just do your part. Whatever it is God has assigned you to do, keep doing your part. And you can rejoice in that because you're saying, you know what? I can't fix the world, but I can fix what God tells me to fix in me. God can fix me and then do my part. Just work and serve where I am. So I'm going to give you 3-4 things here, then we'll move on. You know, if you can't rejoice over the circumstance, which a lot of times we can't, or the person, or what's happening right now, there's a lot of things I'm not rejoicing over. However, I can rejoice in the fact that God knew about it. God knows what's happening. He knows about you. But you can rejoice that Jesus Christ is what? He is your Savior and Lord. No matter what, nothing will remove Jesus from being your Savior and being your Lord. You can rejoice that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That means he's over it all. I'm just reading in Philippians. You need to turn to Philippians and read this. Just read over in Philippians. And it said, you know, Jesus humbled himself and became as a person, as a human. And what happened? God exalted, listen to this. God exalted Jesus to the highest place. And God gave Jesus a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And and heaven and earth beneath the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's over in Philippians. You say, that's it. That's our victory song. God gave Jesus, humbled himself, died on the cross. He rose again and the third day. And God gave Jesus the highest place. And at his name, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friends, rejoice in that. Just because it looks kind of yucky now, God knows how to clean up a mess. He really does. But you got to go to him and sincerely let him have control of your life. Let him have control of the situation. There's things that happen I don't understand. Things happen to me. Things happen to you. And yet God has a plan. Rejoice that Jesus, listen to this. Rejoice that Jesus will not and cannot ever leave you or forsake you. Because he committed himself. He promised he wouldn't, so he cannot leave you. Even if you're a little dumb once in a while. Now, I know nobody in here ever has the dumbs, so I won't have to, but some of your friends do, right? So you can tell them that even when you do something really dumb, yeah. Do you ever just make the really just wonder why that your brain left you there for a moment? Does that happen to anybody in here? Yeah? All the time? Or you say something to somebody and instantly know that your brain was not engaged when you said it? You make some financial decision or whatever and you know your brain was not engaged. It's like, where did it go? You know, I wasn't listening to God. My brain wasn't working. You know, I've gotten to where I do more things. It's just unreal. I looked the other day. I don't even want to tell you this. It's terrible. I couldn't find my truck keys. And I looked all over the place for them. I couldn't find the blasted truck keys. And I just threw out my hands, you know, and it was hanging on my little finger. That's bad. And it's when I got frustrated and threw that hand up. And you know, this is human nature. We look around. Now I live out in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's like, I hope nobody saw that. And then God is sitting up there. He's got to laugh. You can just hear God going. Yeah, I knew where it was all along. If you just listened to me, I'd have told you. You know, God. It's true. We do that stuff, don't we? How many of you look for your glasses and they're up here? Oh, okay. Yeah, see. Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's amazing. It's like you just brain go. But Jesus, in spite of all that, listen to me, despite of our being human, in other words, he won't leave us or forsake us. Now you can rejoice in that. And you can rejoice that Jesus is greater in you than the evil, the devil, and all this evil in the world. And you need to claim that a lot. It's over in 1 John 4, by the way. Greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. So when you see this evil and you see all this stuff happening, just claim it. Jesus and Christ in me is greater than he that's in the world. And it says in Romans 8, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I can rejoice. See, so start rejoicing in the things that are absolute truth. Not in the rumors, not in the stuff, not in whatever's happening around you, not in the circumstances, but rejoice that God's got it. He's in control. Turn it over to him. Quit trying to make things work out the way you want them to work out. Listen, a lot of you could quit taking some medications if you'd stop trying to make life work out the way you want it to work out. And let me tell you something that'll get you off a lot of the, you know, the indigestion, the Prilosec, whatever it is, Nexium, whatever you're taking, and a lot of antidepressants. Quit trying to make people be what you want them to be. Okay? Okay, thank you. Okay. It's true, isn't it? We get involved in with people, friends, or we just really find somebody and that's the right person, and all these things we like about them, and then we want to marry them, and the first thing we do is start changing them. And then one day we're bored with them, and I hear this all the time. You know, and then you're bored with them, or you're frustrated with them, you put out with them, and sometimes I have to, and I will. I've gotten so cranky now that I'm older with this counseling business, and it's like, what did you like about them before? And then you finally get them talking and saying, and then one of them will say, well, I did all that, and then they wanted me this. And they said, yeah, what I liked about them began to irritate me. So now you're irritated because they're not like they were when you first met them because you're the one that changed them. You got what you wanted. You changed them. Now you don't like them. You know why? You ready for this? This is free counseling. I'm going to throw this in. You know why we don't like them once we change them? Because we changed them to be like us. They're too much like ourselves. Now, we don't like ourselves, so we don't like them. It's true. Why change somebody to be like yourself? You don't even like yourself. That's why you're always trying to change yourself. And by the way, facelifts and makeup and all that won't do it. Nobody here has done that. I got that from watching, you know, it was an actress on TV I saw. And it was like, what has she done to herself? And it's like, I'd go back to my plastic surgeon and hit him. You know, one corner of the lip was turned up. You could tell it was fresh job. And it's like, lady, why don't you learn to just age gracefully? And it's like, that plastic's going to, you're going to get too hot one of these days and your whole face will melt. And so it's like you don't like yourself. That's part of life, and you got to like yourself, because if you don't, how are you going to like others? And I've said this many times. I've got to move on with this. But if you don't love you, how in the heck are you going to love somebody else? If you're not okay with who God made you, you're sure not going to be okay with who God made someone else. They'll always aggravate you. So, you know, just stop changing. Stop trying to control the universe. God didn't make any of us gods. He's here to control. Not our will, but his will be done. You can't change people. Oh, they'll change temporarily just for you, get you off their back, but they'll hate you for it. They'll despise you. I'm serious. So stop. Just start and live in life with the way it is, with the people around you, because that's the way it is. Either that or just be a recluse. Don't go out. You know, that's not cool either. So, and also rejoice. Listen to this. I'll move on. That's enough. That's free counseling for the day. Just rejoice. Listen, rejoice that God made you his child in spite of yourself. These are things to be happy about. You can rejoice and be happy about this. I'm not happy about our current circumstances at all. Anybody that knows me knows that. And I'll talk about out here in this world. I'm not happy about this attempt. Then there is this huge attempt, and it's not just an attempt, to rewrite our history. You want to rewrite our history and make it a lie? You know, let's take out everything about the Civil War. Let's close Gettysburg and do all that stupid stuff. And it's like, that's just real. It's life. And you want to write, of course, it's, you know, been, this has been for a long time. Let's don't talk about the religious oppression in England and why a lot of those folks came over here originally to found this nation. Let's just talk in a political realm or whatever. Why do we, you know, you want to, do you know who rewrote history? Karl Marx. The Soviet Union. Communist China. Communism rewrites history to take God out of the picture. Why? You know, why would we want that here? What is what is. And it's made us what we are. As a matter of fact, history is designed to help us look back and say, never again. And without it, you're going to do it again. You with me? If you don't have something to remind you by looking back, say, whoa, then we're going to do it again. We have no base of reference, and it will repeat itself. So anyway, just praise God that you're His child in spite of yourself. You're His possession, and He's got you. He's got this. It's enough. I'm going to get this. Let me get this second point. I just really like this first one. You know, it's like, Tony, you can be happier. You can be more joyful in your spirit, not on the circumstances, but because I have the Lord know exactly what's going on. I have a plan. Tap into my plan. I'll show it to you. You're going to like it. That's what you got to do. You're going to like His plan. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Father, remove this from me. Nevertheless, Your will. He went to the cross. Would I have wanted to do that? No. Is there any possibility that if He'd have said, Tony, I want you to do it, would Tony got there and said, I just can't do it. It's possible. I've heard people make brave, announcements like that, and they say, oh, listen, man, somebody shoot at me. I'm not gonna run. You hadn't been shot at. Somebody comes after me, I'll stand up to them. You, until you've done it, you don't know. It's easy to make a boast. It's another when you're looking in the face and saying, well, what do I do now? I've heard some people up there where I'm at, you know, our county got declared a disaster area because of all the gangs of illegals that are coming across the county. And I've heard different people say, I'll just get out my, you know what, I'll just stand out there and I'll just fire a few shots. And it's like, yeah, until they fire back. And let's just see how tough you are then. And we boast about a lot of things in the flesh and we can't do them. And then I look at all that and say, you know what, in spite of all that, in spite of our arrogance and our boasting and our goofiness, God still looks at us and has pity on us and mercy. And going back to the cross thing, could I have done it? I doubt it. But Jesus did it. He didn't want to do it in His flesh. Asked God not to let Him do it, but He did. You ever thought about it? And you ever thought about, thank you, God, that He did do it? Because if He hadn't have done it, in spite of His flesh saying no, then we wouldn't be here today. And we'd be destined for hell. And because Jesus gave His feelings and His personal desires, His will, to God, and He went and did it. Because He did it, we're here. Because He died on that cross, He rose again and gave us the hope of the resurrection. And we put our faith in Him, knowing that we'll be resurrected because God brought Him from the dead. He'll bring us from the dead. And we never really die. We just go to sleep and wake up in another place, a good place in heaven. And think about it. Because He just submitted Himself to the Lord and said, my body doesn't want to do this. My human mind says, I can't. And God said, but my spirit in you is greater than anything in this world, and you can. And that's when Jesus really, not my will but yours, and he surrendered. Friend, that's the call to us. That's what's how we get rejoicing. Don't you rejoice that He did it? Of course you do. He did it. He did it. And because He did it, I can do it. I can live. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me. I don't, you know, birthdays now for me, they're not something I jump up and down about. And I mean, really, we're glad that we're... Now listen, I jump up and down that I'm there to see it. Every birthday that you have, you need to really rejoice. See, rejoicing that you're there to see, you're standing up. Okay? And I'll do that, but it's like, I was looking the other day and said, oh, God, another year older. And then I could almost sense God saying, another year closer. It's like, how do you want to look at it, Tony? Another year older here or another year closer up there? And if you look at it the right way, then you can rejoice and say, I'm not getting old. And really, in that sense, what am I doing? I'm getting younger. I'm getting closer. And a whole new body. That'll be kind of cool. Things won't hurt like they do now. Did you know there's no Advil in heaven? You don't need it? So let's get this other one. There's so much here, and we've got to wrap this up, because it's 4th of July, and you want to go eat barbecue and all that good stuff, right? So, the second point here, you'll be joyful, be happy. But the second one is he says, take hold of God who takes hold of you. And where did we get that out of this Thessalonians passage? He said, don't quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test them all. And what did he say? Hold on to what is good. What's good? Jesus already said that. He said, don't call me good. He said, call God good. Your Father in heaven is good. And he said, hold on. So take hold of God who takes hold of you. And so, and get some wisdom with this thing. Hold on to what is good, and that's God. He said, What's the teaching here in this passage? Turn loose to some of these things you're trying to hold on to. How many of you are holding on to memories of the past? And you just keep going back to them. And it's time to just start rejoicing in who you are and who God is now. Why aren't you creating? Listen to me. Some of you have bad history, right? You've had bad things. Where does it say you can't start a new history for yourself? Yeah, that's back there. Don't go change it and act like it didn't happen, but take it and learn from it and let the people you're meeting now know you as the person now, not back then. Write a new part of your life, a new history. And Jesus Christ, that's what he does. What does he say? He said, you're a new creation in Christ. You have a chance to a do-over. Well, who else gives you that opportunity? It's a duo. You can start it right now. You can say, hey, you know what? I could be a new creation in Christ. I'm going to take hold of God. He's got hold of me. I'm going to take hold of what he offers. And I'm going to let him make out of me right now what he purposed for me to be. And age doesn't matter. You just start now. And be who he wants you to be. Don't quench the spirit with this bad thinking, with being upset all the time. Pray in the spirit. Make songs and music and a melody in your heart to the Lord. Test. Test everything. What does that mean? Listen to me. If you hear a prophecy, if somebody tells you God said, go to this Bible and look it up and see if the scripture proves it or disproves it. Everybody with me? There's been tons of prophecies out there. Are they calling that? Well, go to the Word of God and see if that's what it says. Does it back it up or not? If it doesn't, I don't care what they call themselves. That's not true. It's as simple as that. Check it. Test it. Check it. See what the Bible says. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. What does that mean? If somebody tells you they got a word from God, he says, don't treat that with contempt, but go check it out and test it. I hear a lot of people saying, boy, somebody comes up to me and gives me a prophecy. I'm going to tell them what. No. You say, all right, thank you for that. Do you know where in Scripture that comes from, that where you've got that? And if they may say yes, they may say no. Well, you go find out for yourself. That's enough on that. Listen to me. Then we're going to be closing with this last point. If what you see or hear or read or experience, if it has anything offensive, if it's anything in any way that contradicts Scripture or mocks God, stay away from it. Everybody with me? Don't quench the spirit and hold on to what is good. And that's where we're coming from here on this last statement. Reject every kind of evil. I'm having to watch it with some of the movies that I kind of like, I get flustered. I get put out with somebody. Well, I want to go turn on a movie that, you know, where they, you know, big war movie or something and shoot them all. Okay. Say, that's really good, Pastor. Yeah, I know. It makes me feel better. But anyway. But then I've noticed a lot of the movies that have been coming out in the last 2, 3, 4 years, they have a contempt for God, and you'll catch these little things in there, and they're putting God down. And they put Christians down. And have you ever noticed in any movie, just about any movie, and I've said this before, but it's true, any movie where there's a Christian in it, a pastor's in it, a priest is in it, they get killed first. They kill them off every time. You just pay attention to that. They always kill the Christians off. And it's always the good old boys or the good old girls, you know, that come out in the end. And the movies today, nobody's really good. They're all pretty, yeah, shady. It's just that some are more shady than the other less shady people. And there's no real heroes. Nobody stands up for God. Nobody that stands for good. You know, nobody stands out there and shines anymore. And we're degrading and cutting down and chopping to pieces anybody that's a standout. We mock them, make fun of them, our society, our media, the whole acting field. And yes, the political field too. They don't want anybody that stands for God. They don't want anybody that's Christian. They don't want anybody that stands and says, no, this is wrong, folks. We don't cheat to people. We don't steal from them. We don't lie to them. Let's just be straight and treat them right. You watch some of this stuff, and if what you're watching, listening to, whatever, if it's in any way degrading God, putting down the church, if they're gonna have to knock God, and I hear movies, and they'll say something, you know, oh, God's not involved in this. This isn't about God. This is about us. And it's like that's a lot of hell right there. And you see, well, it's a movie. No, it's programming, and they're programming you to think that way. I want to tell you something, folks. Everything's about God, and there's nothing that happens or nothing exists that isn't about God in some form or another. And so that, you know, if anything that you listen to, see, whatever, read, if you're reading something and it's just putting down God, stop it. Ask God to cleanse your heart and mind, and no more of it. And by the way, I know this is where this gets kind of, it's hard. This last word on this point. If you have, it's like you hesitating, aren't you, Tony? Well, I can't do that. I got to bring the truth. If you have family or you have friends, and every time you're around them, they're putting down God, it's time for you to do something about that. I don't mean get in a fight with them. Don't mean tell them off. I mean it's time for you to keep your head cleared and your heart cleared and just make a decision. I'm not going to subject myself to this anymore. I don't know if anybody here has that, but I run into people that do, and they'll say, "But those are my relatives." And it's like, but every time you're with them, they're running the Lord down. Yeah, they call Jesus names, or they put him down, and you sit there and take that. You let them in your home? Well, they're my kinfolks. I think, you know, my feeling is I got better kinfolks in the church family than I do if they're going to do that. And God told me that I'm not to quench the spirit and I'm going to reject every kind of evil. Well, I'm either going to obey the word or I'm not. That's all there is to it. And it's right there. So enough on that. I sound kind of harsh. But see, a lot of us, we just get so, our lives are tending in turmoil because we're listening and watching the stuff that beats up the Lord. I want to see God. I want to see movies that glorify God or at least show God's people coming through. I watched one the other day. You wouldn't watch it, but you know, and because it was a, you know, aliens and all that, you know. So, yeah. Do I know what? No. Oh. It's PureFlix. PureFlix. There you go. Thank you. We'll just put that in. That went right in the PureFlix. I had never heard of it. There you go. PureFlix. Thank you. Now I was watching a movie the other day, and it was an alien movie, so most of you canceled out there. But there was a minister there, and he was really good. I mean, and he patched people up, and he was leading the charge. So that, you know, and okay, it's an alien movie, so okay. Who's the first person killed when the aliens came? The pastor. He was the one that led them, patched them up, helped them, got them going, you know, got them out there to take these weird beings on. And I know it's far-fetched. And then who's the first one killed? They killed him. And it happens all the time. Yeah, I'm kind of tired of that. I'm kind of worn out with it, and I just don't take it like I used to, and it's like, you know, just kind of ruin the whole thing. So that's me. Let's close this. This third point is you can count on God's faithfulness, and that's what he says. You can count on God's faithfulness. You read all this and study this out. I couldn't do all these points. We'd be here. This is like a class. So, and this is long enough. Verse 24 says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So we want to close on that. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify. That word sanctify means set you apart to himself. Sanctify means set apart to God. May he sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what we want to close on. The one who calls you. Who calls you? Jesus Christ, God the Father. The one who calls you is faithful. Is faithful, and he'll do it. He'll do what he says. So he sanctifies you to himself, and he says your spirit, soul, and body. God, do you get this in here? I've heard too much preaching and teaching that God's only concerned with the soul, right? The spirit. This is very clear in this passage that God wants my whole spirit, soul, and body kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we miss that? We neglect the body and feed the spirit. How's God going to use you effectively if you don't take care of your body? So take care of it. Feed it properly. You know, at least one day a week, don't eat a cheeseburger. You know, eat the vegetables or something. You know, you can drink one of my shakes. That'll wake you up, you know, in the morning. I've gotten to where now I take a tablespoon. And I put one little tiny drop of honey in the tablespoon, and I shake up my apple cider vinegar, and I pour that tablespoon full of that, and I stir that little bit of honey, and I just take it. Now, that'll wake you up. If you have any sleep problems, drink that tablespoon of stuff. But you know what it does? It helps your circulation, helps your heart, helps your joints, helps everything. And if your throat's a little scratchy, feels a little irritated, that right there will cut that right out. And it's really neat. The only side, there's one little side problem with that. You'll know pretty quick if you have too much stomach acid. Because when that hits your stomach, if you've got a little too much acid, you might want to have something there to quickly, cold water to drink down, because it can be a little rough. But that's good stuff. I've gotten to where I'm almost addicted to it. You know, pour that in my tablespoon and take that vinegar. And that'll do it for you. And that's then I take my shake, you know, and calm all that down. So that was for free. God, I'm saying that though in line with God cares about your body, and it says it here, and it says it be kept blameless. He wants your body blameless. He wants your spirit and your soul blameless at his coming. And he says, God who calls you will do it. He'll keep you. If you give God half a chance, he'll keep your body healthy. He'll keep you safe. He'll protect your spirit and soul. And I want to close this. It's time. We've got to go home. So, God, listen. God will bring you before himself blameless. Just let him do it. When you fail, ask God to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Keep in fellowship with him. This is so important. This is how you come before God blameless. It doesn't mean we're sinless. It doesn't say that. It says blameless. I keep confessed. I keep repented. I keep my heart and mind focused on him. I keep my will turned over to him. When I start wanting things my way too much, that's when I need to stop and say, wait a minute. This is all about you, God, not about me. I'm trying to force the issue. I want them, they, it, to be like I think it should be. And yet I'm only here to get down here and say, God, use me for what you put me here for. And when you're through with me, call me home. That's what it's about. When I'm used up, and I pray this, I do. Listen, I pray this. God, use me up, and when you're through with me, don't let me linger, take me up. When I'm used up, take me up. And I mean it. I'm not just saying it to be some preachy thing here. Ask God to use you for what he put you here to do, and God, when that is accomplished, take me up. I don't want to linger when I fulfilled my mission, do you? Think about it. And I've told people, I don't want them putting me in some place. That's not me anyway. So use me up and call me up. Now you say, do you hope that you're 90 years old and have? Yeah. But if it's sooner, if I'm used up, because what's he going to say? If he's really used you up, you've done what he calls you to do, and you're submitted to him and he calls you up, he's going to say, job well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to hear that. I really, really want to hear that. Do you? And I know we're going to stand there and look at him and say, in spite of all my sins and the stupid things I've done, and he's going to say, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Go to this place I've got prepared for you. Isn't it great? So here it is. In closing, last three statements. God is faithful. God will do what he says. God is faithful. God will do what he says. And just sum it up and say this in everything. God will do it. It is done. Isn't that neat? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Yeah, your kingdom come. Now I pray soon, but your kingdom come, and your will, not our will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in each of our lives. Your will be done in this church family. Your will be done in the House, in the Senate, in the presidency. Your will be done in this whole country, in Israel, in this world. Your will be done. Lord, give us this day, every day, our daily bread. You're the bread of life, so give us the bread of you, yourself, the living bread, and give us what we need to live on. Lord, if you give abundance, we're even more truly grateful. But give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And God, as you're forgiving us right now, and we can recall things in our hearts and minds that we just need you to forgive us for, God, give us that grace that you use to forgive us, to give to others and forgive them, and to just submit to your will and say, you know, God knows. God said he'd take care of it, and God will do it. And lead us not into temptation or trial or testing. Don't let us fall into that by our own making or someone else's. But deliver us from evil. And deliver us from the evil one. Open our hearts and minds that we never fall into deception. Give us discerning spirits. Wise spirits. Minds, souls, emotion, that we know the will of God. But deliver us from evil and evil one, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and all honor belongs to you. And I just pray the blood of Jesus over all your people here this day, Lord. And thank you for them all, and God bless them, and lead them, and do with them what you want done. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and thank you for being here this 4th of July day.